Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jay Myers is here. Jay's a 7-year member of our Brain Trust. He's a real live small business owner just like you. Makes payroll every Friday, maybe every other Friday, but certainly a couple of three times a week. I mean, a month. He's a founder of his own business. Interactive Solutions, by the way, is the name of the company. Award-winning author of two books. He's our good friend, Jay Myers. Welcome back.
Appreciate it, Jim. Thanks for having me on the show.
Good to have you back. So, okay, so you've gotten you've become a little bit of a rolling stone, haven't you? You decided you didn't want the monster grow on your backside there, and you decided to branch out a little bit recently.
Well, we actually did, Jim, and it was kind of necessity.
Not the first, and by the way, not the first time.
That's true. I mean, so my business is headquartered in Memphis. We sell video conferencing, audio visual equipment, those sort of things. And if you think about the nature of video conferencing, we're linking up remote offices. So you really kind of need to, in our opinion.
You got
to
have that under your belt, free. Don't you?
Yeah, you kind of have to do that. I mean, if you're not doing it, then how can you get your customers to do it? But the interesting thing is our business is headquartered in Memphis. But we have an office in Nashville, Little Rock, Oxford, Mississippi, and then we got some guys working out of their homes and things in the Knoxville area. It's been a good formula for a pretty long time now, but one of the things that most recently happened was an opportunity to grow our business into a totally new market, a very large market up in Chicago. And admittedly, part of the reason was is we just hired my son to be a inside salesperson, so he's running our Chicago office.
Your son, so nepotism is alive and well, is that what you're saying?
Well, I will. I may want to debate that with you at another show, but I think that he's a bright young man.
I'm just teasing you a little bit.
No, that's okay. I mean, we've heard a bunch of people.
I think it's wonderful. I want to quickly say, I'm just teasing Jay, but I think, I mean, to me, this is one of the great things about having a small business. I do think that when your kids grow up, they ought to go off and get a job somewhere else and learn how everything lays, you know, outside of the parents' umbrella, and then if they come back, they want to come back, then I think that's great.
Well, it has really been very interesting, and just to me, I mean, I couldn't be more thrilled to have had this kind of work out. I mean,
how old is your
frankly,
son?
We had a boy.
How old is he?
He is 28, and he has been on his own, just for the record, and for your listeners out there, I think it's kind of interesting. He has been on his own for 10 years now. He graduated from DePaul University, got two degrees, his undergraduate, then he majored in PR and, I believe, communications, and he got his MBA. So then after that, he did go work for the school, and kind of an interesting thing, the school paid for his MBA, so that was a neat thing for him to work
out.
Recruiting. Yeah. Then he had another job in IT staffing, so after that, after kind of getting...
So he knows what it's like to draw a paycheck from somebody besides dad, and now you got him working in Chicago.
Yeah, and so, you know, the point, you know, on the remote office, whether it's my son or anybody, for your listeners out there, we had to set him up the Chicago office. At this point, you know, it started out in his apartment and everything to be able to link him into the home office and to the other folks because he's part of the sales team. He's inside sales and marketing, but he's also developing accounts on his own in the Chicago area. In addition to that, he's doing our social media. So he's a busy guy. Mm-hmm. Part of the thing about the remote offices, and I think tip number one is for the listeners out there that you have to have the folks in the remote office feel like they're in the headquarters office.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that? Video conferencing is a great way to do it, to be able to link people up frequently, to be able to be a part of the meetings. He's in a meeting, as an example, this morning. He'll be in a meeting at 8:30 with the sales team. He's there every Monday morning. It's a routine. And I think that's important is to set in place a routine so that it's not like some, oh, let's bring in the Chicago guy, some one-off kind of thing. So you have to have a routine. And I think part of the thing, too, is that you need to make sure that the communication, besides being routine, is frequent. So the thing about people that are working remote
frequent,
offices...
Frequent and regular.
And
pretty much non-negotiable.
Exactly. And I think that once they feel like that they're part of things, I mean, cover them up with activity, good activity. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about just making up meetings that, you know, link up on video just for whatever. But remote offices, whether the Chicago is our most recent, but we've had that guys that hour and a half away from Memphis and Oxford, Mississippi, yep, that we've hardly ever seen in the office, but we feel like they're part of us because we're linked up on video constantly. Same thing in Little Rock, same thing in Nashville.
It's good. It's good to reconnect with the mothership. And but people have been working remote for years. I mean, I did it for years. But as you say, every so often you need to reconnect with the mothership. All right, what's next?
Well, the thing about it is, once you've done that, and once you've established that routine, I think it's very important to make sure that the people have the tools in place. Okay, video being one of them, you also need to have software and tools in place on their computer to make them actively part of whatever you're trying to accomplish. I mean, there's other tools out there, obviously some GoToMeeting things and other type of products that you can show whatever you're trying to communicate via, let's say, a slideshow, a PowerPoint, or whatever type of information, or anything that you're trying to seek from a research standpoint. But the link-ups need to be frequent, they need to be regular, but you also need to be doing meaningful things along the way with these connections. Now, the other piece of the puzzle is, and Jim, I think you were just alluding to this, is you also have to include, and this is the part that gets a little tricky, you've got to include a certain number of the face-to-face meetings and make those happen, because the reality of it is working remote can be very lonely. You can get isolated. You're not socializing with people.
You can get bad habits.
You get into bad habits. Now, let me just tell you the pretty interesting thing. My son has been on board for a few months. We already have transitioned him from his apartment to a office, sort of shared space in Chicago. Jim, you probably have heard of it, called 1871.
Yep.
And it's an incubator that has a lot of startup businesses, and he goes in there, and it's just really neat that he's been able to socialize.
Yep. That's another way to grow your business. I've seen a number of businesses do this, and even though they sell stuff, not just services or intangibles.
Exactly.
I need your website, Jay.
JMyersCEO.com, the book's plural, then also ISITN.com for the business.
Hitting the curveballs, that's the new one. Quick break, right back with Jay Myers after these messages. Stay with us.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com, that's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, Call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
Welcome back, 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. We have an outstanding, having an outstanding visit with our good friend, Jay Myers. Jay is the author of Hitting the Curveballs, and his award-winning book, Keep Swinging. He's the president of Interactive Solutions, interactivesolutions-tn, is that right, .com?
ISITN.
ISI, there it is. ISITN. .com. So check that out, folks. Jay, we're talking about your remote office that you've just opened up. Not your first one. And you're sharing some of the ideas of some of the things that you got to do if you're going to be successful with remote office and remote workers. Because you got people out there that you're not going to be seeing every day. They're not going to be under your roof. And if you think about it, if you got a business that's a B2B business like yours, where you're calling on businesses, I mean, heck, you could have people under your own roof that you don't see for a couple of weeks, you know, because you're coming and going, they're coming and going. So that part of it's not that much different. But one of the things I wanted to talk about this time, this segment, is the personnel, because everybody is not cut out to be a remote worker, and every manager, every business owner, is not currently ready to manage people like that. Some people can't do it. They either never will, or they've got to train themselves to be a remote manager. And you've got to hire people who can work remotely, right? You got to make sure those two things match up, don't you?
You absolutely do, and I think that's a great point, Jim, is that you have to have the DNA and the whole personality and just the work, the traits to be able to do that. So as an example, my son, and not being proud papa, but just reality, he's been on his own for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and he's worked independently with several jobs for a number of years, so he's used to that. Some people are not. Some people will, this lack of socialization on a daily basis just kills them, and they just can't get it done. So let me give you a quick example. I'm telling you all the nice stories about Chicago and all this good stuff going on, that we've had these remote offices for, you know, the newest one, obviously, a few months old, but the other ones for several years. That's the good news. Let me tell you the bad news. We've had guys in Birmingham, a lady in Atlanta, Charlotte, Louisville, 0-4. Didn't work.
Wow.
Various amounts of time, just didn't work.
Because, what's the post-mortem on those? What do you think caused that?
Well, I don't think we did a great job of managing them, and I think that, to your point, Jim, the wrong DNA.
Probably didn't hire the right person.
We didn't hire the right person.
There are tests you can administer, aren't there, to tell whether this person can work. I mean, you can ask the people who are compiling the test, tell me if this person has the personality and can respond in a way that would make them a good remote worker.
I think that's a good point. There are some people that you can hire that can get the job done at first glance, everything, because they have the traits. But there's a second level, like that you're referring to, which is to be able to have the the DNA to work remotely. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make that the person that works locally, you know, any better or worse than the other guy or the remote worker. It's just two different sets of skills, and I think it's important to recognize that. We just didn't do a good job for a host of reasons. Sometimes, you know, when you expand to bigger cities in Atlanta and Charlotte and these places, it looks good, and all the glitter is not gold necessarily. In the case of Louisville, just our guy lasted, I don't know, almost 2 years, but it was just like lack of production.
So what is the most important thing that you learned in those failures? That maybe your failures are more instructive than your successes, right?
Right. Do your homework.
They usually are.
Do your homework. Make sure that this person is not only competent to sell, if that's what you want to do remotely, but also that the further testing, to make sure that they understand how it's going to be implemented in terms of remote worker, how what they can expect in terms of how often they're going to see you, and the communication back and forth, and make sure they're comfortable being able to work.
If they've never worked remotely on their own, if they don't have any track record of working remotely on their own, does that automatically exclude them?
Not automatically, but that's certainly a red flag. You've got to be careful, because it's just a unique skill set to be able to do things remotely. And I will tell you this much, Jim, even in the way we're working, you know, the whole thing with offices now has changed, and even our office in Nashville, we're using shared space now and doing some different things. And even with that, we actually closed our brick-and-mortar office in Nashville to go into a shared space that really met our needs better, save some money, but also be more efficient. And some people just like to go in the office every day.
Well, they need one thing that you got to really be careful of is even people who can work remotely can't work from home remotely.
That's also true.
You got to, because the working from home is a whole other level. I did it for a number of years. But when I did it, I got up every morning, I put my suit on before I went to my home office, and even if I wasn't leaving that day, I wore a suit all day long. I didn't walk around in my jammies.
I think the discipline of that is a key kind of situation. But I will tell you that the future, I'm sure for all those listeners out there, the days of the big brick and mortar offices have come and gone. So this is the way that people need to get comfortable working.
Generational situations. That's going to contribute to that, too. Hey, Jay, good job today. Really good information.
Thank you.
I know you helped a lot of folks today. I want your website one more time, please.
So the book's in Jay Myers, MyersCEO.com. One kind of string there. And then ISITN, like Tennessee.com.
All right. Hey, Jay, good job today. Come back soon.
All right. Appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
Jay Myers, ladies and gentlemen, a real small business owner, just like you. 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Until it's gone, and I found out a little too late.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blassingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blassingame. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's BPLANS.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-4255.
1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity high-performance HR and business solutions. From recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
He's the man who's teaching small business how to embrace social media, the king of tweets.
Oh, they have the internet on computers now. To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Very excited about having Gordon Chang back on the show. Gordon's a great member of our Brain Trust, the author of a couple of books on what's going on over in the Pacific Rim, a nuclear showdown, North Korea takes on the world, and also his more recent book, The Coming Collapse of China. Many of you have seen Gordon's expert and excellent analysis of what's going on in China on television, and he's here with us right now. Gordon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
It's good to have you back. So, Gordon, back 10, 12 years ago when everybody was wringing their hands and about China, you know, when China's economy was barely getting out of the blocks, there were a lot of Americans who thought the Chinese economy was bigger than ours. And they were wringing their hands over how China was going to take us over and all that. And I was telling them, not being even a Chinese expert like you are, I was telling them 10, 12 years ago, guys, they're not that kind of a threat to us. Their markets are their capital markets especially are immature. They're not really all that don't have all that much of a foundation under them. What do you think, Gordon? Was I giving good advice?
You certainly were, Jim, because essentially what we've seen over the last 4 weeks is a sickening fall in Chinese stocks. Beginning about last summer, for no reason at all, not a robust economy, not surging corporate profits, because there weren't any, China's stock market started a phenomenal rise. And it was only because the Chinese central government started talking up the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Well, starting June 12th, there's been a real fall in the market. And essentially, what's happened is reality has met the Chinese investor.
The Potemkin village has been exposed, hasn't it?
It certainly has. Now, what's happened over the last three trading days, Thursday, Friday, and today, Monday, there's been an increase in the Chinese stock market, but that's not because of investor sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
That's because of a rescue plan by the Chinese central government to prohibit people from selling also to require some people to buy shares, as well as the central government itself buying shares to support prices. This is freezing the market. About half the companies are no longer trading their shares. They're suspended. And IPOs are suspended. And essentially, we are seeing the Chinese economy freeze up. They will be able to rescue the stock market, but they will do so at a really high cost.
Which is blatant instability, whereas 10, 12 years ago, it was sort of hidden by you know, the facade of business people doing what business people doing would, you know, do, and but being somewhat propped up by the government. Now the government, I mean, the government fiat is basically trying to turn this thing around. I mean, they're not even attempting to have a Potemkin facade now, are they?
No, that's absolutely right, because essentially the stock markets are no longer functioning like stock markets in China. And this is occurring at a time when the Chinese economy is slowing, and it's slowing very quickly. On Wednesday, we're going to get the economic numbers for June and therefore for the first half of the year. And by their own terms, they're going to fall from the 7.0% growth of the first quarter probably to something a little bit less. But in reality, the Chinese economy is now growing at 1 or 2% if it's growing at all.
And weren't their 8, 9, 10% growth numbers, weren't those always kind of suspect?
Well, it really depended. What China has been doing over the course of decades has been smoothing out growth. It's like exactly what companies have been doing with their earnings. So in years of very high growth, 14, 15, 16% growth, the economy was probably growing faster than Beijing claimed. Because Beijing did not want to alarm people by the prospect of overheating. But when China has been growing at low rates, China has in effect been growing much lower than the government has been willing to admit.
Even though we've talked about the stock market is being propped up a little bit by the government, is there still contagion dangers for global markets?
I think that there probably still is some. If the Chinese economy had, if the stock market had completely fallen apart this week, I think there would have been a contagion, largely because people would have been unprepared. But the longer that this crisis drags on, I think the more that we start to understand what's really occurring in China and are starting to discount it.
So China had our 2008 this year.
It's starting to have its 2008, and that's really perceptive, because what happened in 2008...
Gordon, hold on to that thought. I want to come back to that, and I want to come back to this with Gordon after these messages. I'm also going to ask Gordon about cybersecurity. How about the 22 million Americans in the Office of Personnel Management that I'm going to ask Gordon, did the Chinese have something to do with that? And other important questions, and as you can tell, he has the answers. Tony Till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
If you're a business owner, who can you trust to stand shoulder to shoulder with to help your company prosper? Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. I have seen firsthand the role trust plays in team performance. And now you can have your own business performance advisor to help your company reach your goals. For more than 25 years, Insperity has helped thousands of America's best businesses succeed by putting high-performance HR and business solutions to work. Your Insperity Business Performance Advisor starts with the specific needs of your company and tailors a customized solution to unleash your business potential. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's BPLANS.com. From there, you can link to their main site,
paloaltosoftware.com if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Vein of night, the cuts of apathy ring light, burning like a beacon on the edge.
That's the late great Dan Fogelberg bringing us back. That's Nexus. That's the song Nexus. First one on the Innocent Age album, which I encourage you to check out. And I promise you, if you buy that album, you'll thank me later. It's a double album, by the way. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the one from my award-winning book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Hope you check that out, too. Gordon Chang is our guest. Gordon Chang is the author of The Coming Collapse of China, which was actually, Gordon, that was more of a prophecy than a book, wasn't it?
Well, it certainly was.
Congratulations on that. So, Gordon, folks, as many of you know, if you keep up with the news, you see Gordon in various television interviews. He does a lot of speaking, a lot of writing. He's got an outstanding blog that I encourage you to check out. Gordon, in the previous segment, we were talking about the Chinese financial almost basically collapse. If you think about what the stock market did, the economy is reeling right now. The government has had to step in and do some pretty aggressive things, like telling large investors that they can't trade anymore under penalty of arrest. And I think some people actually were arrested. So notwithstanding that last part, when you were describing what was happening, the surprise collapse in the last 3 weeks or so, it reminded me of what happened in September of 2008 here in the United States. And when you talked about the government moving in and preventing a further collapse, that also reminded me of what we did here in 2008.
Yeah, what happened in 2008 in China is that Beijing decided not to have a downturn. So they authorized the largest stimulus program in history. Mm-hmm. In the next 5 years, they created an amount of credit that was basically equal to that in the U.S. entire U.S. banking system, even though in 2008 the Chinese economy was less than a third the size of America's. So they created growth, but they've also created imbalances like property market bubble mm-hmm. and the stock market. So this is a problem for China because they have yet to deal with their 2008.
Don't they have lots of other issues though? I mean they've got a demographic nightmare over there on many levels. The country folk and the city folk and the one child policy, they got lots of issues over there. They got environmental nightmares all over the country, don't they?
Yes, they certainly
things like
do.
That. I mean this is China has become a what my dad would have called a barrel of snakes. I mean it's a mess, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, and you're certainly right to point out the demographic crisis, which people don't talk about very often. But clearly, this is going to limit China's ability to have a strong economy mm-hmm. and to have a good society because it's creating so many social dislocations in addition to economic problems.
Yeah, and so China, what we're seeing now is China is starting to have to spend more time, more of their energy and capital on propping themselves up, and is the result, Gordon, going to be that China turns inward and tries to take care of its own business, or does it make China a desperate nation? And as we know, desperate people do desperate things. Which one?
I think it's more the lashing out, a desperate nation doing desperate
which
things.
We see them doing in the South Sea, building those islands, isn't it?
It certainly is. You have a political system which was already in distress before the stock market crash. You have a lot of infighting among senior leaders, and this economic downturn is accelerating that because leaders are blaming each other for what's happening in the economy. We will probably see heads roll, and that could even include the premier of the country, Lee Ka-chung, who's the economic czar. I don't know if it actually will occur, but we do know that Xi Jinping, the president and the general secretary of the Communist Party, is blaming everybody else for what's going on, mm-hmm. and they're blaming him as well.
Do you see a revolution, a collapse of the system in China in the next 5 years?
Well, certainly, because what you have is the economy, which is trending down. You've got the financial markets freezing up, which will have real economy effects. You have already a lot of protests, and, of course, all the problems that we've just been talking about. They're converging at the same time. That's always a problem for a society, especially a weak one like China, where the political system mm-hmm. has really not been that strong recently.
But a billion people in turmoil is not good for anybody on this planet, is it?
No, it's not.
A billion three, I guess.
Probably a billion three. Who knows how many people are in China?
But I mean, that can't be good for any of us.
No, it's not.
Aren't we better off with the devil we know than the devil we don't know?
Well, the devil we know is actually very dangerous because it's proliferating nuclear weapons technology and it's supporting Russia.
And propping up North Korea.
And certainly propping up North Korea and Iran and Zimbabwe and a lot of other places which are not good for peace and security.
So what should the United States do? In a minute I've got left in this segment, how's Obama doing in handling this? Is he MIA or is he contributing?
He's a little bit MIA, but he's better than his predecessor, who was actually supporting Beijing. Obama could do better, but nonetheless...
What would you do? What would President Chiang do right now?
There's a lot of things, but one of them is I would probably disinvite Xi Jinping, who's coming to the United States in September, or at least I wouldn't give him all the pomp and circumstance of a state visit.
Right, hold him at arm's length a little bit.
Yes.
What else?
I think we need to be much tougher on trade and enforce the agreements that we have mm-hmm. with them, and we've been letting them skate, and that's mm-hmm. wrong.
Did you think the Pacific trade agreement that we recently passed was the right thing to do?
They haven't reached it yet, but they will, and I think it is the right thing because we need...
They're about to finish it.
Yeah.
But you like that. You like that deal?
Absolutely, because it ties the region to the U.S., not to China.
Gordon Chiang, ladies and gentlemen. I told you we'd get smarter when Gordon joined us, and we got more to come after this message. These messages. I'm going to get Gordon to weigh in on the Office of Personnel Management security breach. 22 million Americans are now fully known to whoever breached our security, everything about them. And I'm going to ask Gordon, did the Chinese have something to do with this? After these messages, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened in the history of the marketplace. This is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about an emerging new age, the age of the customer. For 10,000 years, businesses operated with age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But that age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that convey control from you to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem. But it's probably that you're using age of the seller practices when customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make this transition from old practices to the ones that will help you meet those new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. That's ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame, and I wrote this book for you.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too.
If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's BPLANS.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you run a business, you know your financial results are directly linked to the performance of your people. Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every team wants to operate at peak performance, and now you can with the proven workforce optimization solution from Insperity. This powerful combination of HR and business solutions is the most comprehensive business performance offering in the marketplace, delivering administrative relief, better benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity. And since your business is like no other, this solution is customized to fit your unique company needs. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your Insperity Business Performance Advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Jimi Hendrix bringing us back 7 till the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, outstanding brain trust member, Gordon Chang, author of The Coming Collapse of China. GordonChang.com, is that right, Gordon?
Yes, it is.
That's how they can find you, and the books are available on Amazon, and so I encourage you to follow Gordon. He's got an outstanding blog I like a lot. Gordon, recently it came to light, back probably a couple months ago, maybe a little bit less, that they thought that the Office of Personnel Management had gotten breached and a couple of 3 million people had gotten exposed to the hackers. Now we know it was in excess of 22 million Americans. Fingerprints, you name it, all the way across the line. What happened, Gordon, and who did it?
A series of American presidents did this by refusing to deal effectively with Chinese hacking from the very beginning. At least in this administration, they can say cyber breach and China in the same sentence. You couldn't do that in the previous administration, and clearly they set a tone in Washington that did not allow the United States to protect itself.
Mm.
And when we look back on this, we are going to see bipartisan failure in Washington, and it's got to stop. The incompetence in this administration is matched by the ignorance and the obliviousness of the previous one. This is a disaster. The American people deserve better, and they should demand better from their leaders, whichever party we're talking about.
So there's no question in your mind that the Chinese did this. And it's in the China, it's an industry, isn't it? The Chinese government has made this an industry.
It is not only the Chinese government, it is Chinese enterprises, the Communist Party.
They're sharing all this.
And clearly the military. So we have across the specter of the Chinese, official China, they hacked the United States.
They've hacked our, they've got the plans to our secret jet, fighter jet we were building, right?
The
I mean, what was it, the story that one of our generals was at an air show and he looked up and there was one of our planes that nobody had ever seen before flying, and turns out it was a Chinese plane, and they were flying our secret airplane.
Well, they probably have the plans to the F-35. They have plans to...
In what universe, outside of Bizarro World, Gordon, in what universe is this acceptable?
Well, it certainly isn't. You know, many people argue that the Pentagon and defense contractors are fair game, and I can understand that. But what isn't fair game is the U.S. media, charities, NGOs, advocacy groups,
right,
the institutions of our free society. Those are clearly not fair game, and the United States has to demand this stop, and especially the espionage on U.S. companies, which is done for commercial purposes by the Chinese. This could be a loss of somewhere between $300 and $400 billion of intellectual property.
Isn't this tantamount to Pearl Harbor?
This is a Pearl Harbor every year.
Yeah. I mean, think about this, folks. I mean, isn't it time for Americans to wake up and get their head out of their narcissistic little world and start paying attention to what's going on outside of their little social media circles? I'm complaining to all. I'm bringing this down on all of us, Gordon. I mean, we've got to get our heads out of our own little worlds and pay attention to what's happening.
Absolutely. We have to demand better from our leaders who have really let the American people down over a course of decades.
You know, the other thing, never mind. Never mind the damage, the real damage. It makes me mad to think that they're laughing at us, Gordon.
Absolutely, because we impose no cost. Every administration says, oh, this is unacceptable, but doesn't do anything about it.
We're feckless in these things, aren't we? I mean, it's embarrassing. We ought to be, we should, Gordon, first be embarrassed, and then we should get mad. What do you think?
I'd like to get mad first, actually.
Okay.
But I agree with you.
We should have been embarrassed 10 years ago, right? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Now we don't have time to be embarrassed. We got to get mad now, right?
We have to do something too.
So will a nominee for the president position in the next year, will any of those guys address this?
Well, Donald Trump is addressing it.
He is, isn't he? Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Do you agree with me that they don't need to poo-poo Donald's impact?
On this, that they certainly don't. They should listen to what he says because he needs to start a conversation.
He's going
to
frame the debate.
Candidates.
He's going to frame the debate if he doesn't win the election, isn't he?
That's exactly what's happening already.
Yeah. Hey, Gordon, will you come back?
Absolutely.
I always enjoy having you here. Thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
Gordon Chang, ladies and gentlemen. I love having him on the show. He always gets it right to the point and gives us good information. He'll be back another day. I'll be back after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Welcome to the Small Business Advocate Show with your host, Jim Blasingame. The Small Business Advocate Show is presented by Insperity, dedicated to helping businesses run better, grow faster, and make more money. And now, the man who teaches big business how to help small business and small business how to compete with the big guys.
Kick the tires and light the fires, big day.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Hello, America, and good day to our friends around the world. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure. Continue to be with you wherever you are, however you're listening, whenever you're listening. We're glad you're doing that. Thank you for listening on the radio. We've been broadcasting since November of 97. That's right, the previous century, the last millennia. And all the way back to then. So that's when we started broadcasting our show. 2 months later, we started simulcasting. So almost as long as broadcasting, we've been simulcasting on the internet. So you could be listening on the radio anywhere across the northern half of the Western Hemisphere, including islands on either side. Thank you to all of our radio affiliates who take our show wherever across the country and in the some of the islands who are their own principalities, their own governments. Thank you for that. And you could be listening on the internet. You could be logging on anywhere on the planet. All you got to do is have an internet connection, including on your smartphone. Our show comes across really nicely on the smartphone. So thank you for tuning in, for logging on. And we're going to do our best to make it worth your while. We do that by bringing you really smart people, our Brain Trust members, who join us. Not only join us, but continue to come back and share their ideas with us as they continue to pursue their particular disciplines, like Morag Barrett and Deborah Fine, a couple of really smart ladies who are going to join us this hour. Morag is the author of Cultivate, The Power of Winning Relationships, and she wants to talk to us about why smart people fail. If you're so smart, isn't that an automatic ticket to success? Well, maybe not. And then Deborah Fine is the author of The Fine Art of Small Talk. And I like Deborah because she's an engineer. I like the way she thinks. And she's going to join us with some good advice. That's coming up in the second half of the hour. It's almost 9 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Your business is now operating when something is happening that has never happened before in the history of the marketplace. Hi, this is Jim Blasingame, and I want to tell you about a new age that's emerging right now, the age of the customer. Until recently, you've run your business with 10,000-year-old age of the seller practices based on having control of customer relationships. But the original age is being replaced by the age of the customer, which is creating forces that are conveying control from your business to your customers. If your efforts aren't producing the same results as before, you might think it's an execution problem, but it's probably that you're going to market with age of the seller practices when your customers have age of the customer expectations. My new book, The Age of the Customer, Prepare for the Moment of Relevance, will help you make the transition from old practices to new ones that will allow you to meet these new customer expectations. Find out more about my ideas and how to buy the book at ageofthecustomer.com. This is Jim Blasingame. Thanks for listening.
Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you.
If you are a CEO, you know success is a matter of getting the right players in the right roles with the right goals.
Hello, friends. Jim Nance here. Every coach is looking for the right combination to take their team to the next level. And now you can find the right solution for your business from Insperity. More than 100,000 companies are using Insperity High Performance HR and Business Solutions. From recruiting, employment screening, and retirement services to time and attendance, organizational planning, as well as performance and expense management. Or to move your company ahead as far and as fast as possible, ask about our workforce optimization solution. If you're ready to make your company run better, grow faster, and make more money, call 800-465-3800 or visit Insperity.com and meet with your business performance advisor today. It's what we do. Insperity, inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blassingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Morag Barrett is here. Morag's back. That's right. Morag's a great member of our Brain Trust, the founder and CEO of Sky Team. She's an international HR consulting and leadership expert, and she's the author of Cultivate, The Power of Winning Relationships. And Morag is one of those people who's kind of pulled off the hat trick. She's got a really great name, Morag Barrett. She has an amazing accent, and she's really smart. So that's the hat trick as far as I'm concerned. Morag Barrett, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you for allowing me to come back.
It's good to have you back. I bet nobody's ever introduced you like that before, have they?
No, I can definitely put that down as a first, so thank you very much for those generous comments.
Well, you're welcome, but you know, I have to point out that when I talk to my English friends, my other English friends like you, they always point out to me that I'm the one with the accent.
Well, there is that. It is all about perspective, isn't it?
So, all right, Morag, in your book, which, by the way, is outstanding. Before we go, I want you to talk to us a little bit about what you call the relationship ecosystem. But first, let's talk about smart people. Now, you and I both have known people in their lives who, coming up, they were so smart. They were smart in school, and they got a great education, and they never really lived up to the expectations of the world. What happened? Where'd they go? How'd they get stuck? Where'd they derail?
Well, in my experience, where did they derail? It's because they relied on their book learning.
Ah.
And when we all think about it, think about the people who've influenced you in your career, Jim. We don't, when I ask people to list the characteristics and what makes these people special, book smarts rarely makes it onto the list. What makes it onto the list of what makes for an exceptional leader, a colleague, a team member that you would jump at the chance to work with again, is their ability to connect with others at a human level. Is their people skills. And that's what causes careers to derail, when we overlook the importance of how we work with others, not just what we can do through our own effort.
Devoting too much effort to the content and not enough effort to the human context.
Agreed, absolutely.
What's the cautionary tale there? What should we do?
Well, I'm sure we've all been there. You know, when you have a conversation and it starts to go off track and you feel your blood pressure starting to rise, or maybe you're sitting in a meeting and thinking, well, that's stupid, that'll never work, but you don't actually speak up.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe your boss or somebody's coming and asking for a volunteer or needs assistance on a project and you're saying yes, or you're committing to something at the weekend. You say yes, and you know you should be saying no because you've got a million and one other things that need your attention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are all examples of smart people being not so smart. And the key, the first step, is awareness, understanding what triggers us to behave in a way that we're not at our best. And some of those examples, it's learning to say no.
Very interesting. Well, you know, I love the quote from the Clint Eastwood movies, the Dirty Harry, the Inspector Callahan series. In one of those, I can't remember which one, but in one of those, he said, a man's got to know his limitations. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm going to describe it as their default limitations. Because the good news about what we're talking about today, Jim, is that we can all learn to get better. So it's not about limiting and that's it. You've got your cup full and you're not going to get any more. But the term that we're talking about here is emotional intelligence. And when I first heard that back in the 80s, I thought, oh, there we go, another buzzword. That'll be gone very soon. And I'm glad to say that it hasn't. And my understanding, it's one of the reasons I do what I do for a living. Because I realized that the emotional side of business, and I started in commercial finance. I remember being told, it's not personal, it's business. Well, in my opinion, Jim, business is personal.
We've got to get it back to that. I do believe that a lot of capitalism has turned into that, Morag. But I think that's where we've run off the rails in capitalism in America. We've got to get capitalism, and we've got to get the marketplace back to where things are personal. I agree with you on that. But what is an emotional failure to do with a smart person not being successful? How is the emotion deriding that person?
Well, think about it. If you've got somebody, and we all have different responsibilities, if you've got a boss or a leader who gets angry, who gets aggressive when they're under stress, maybe they're banging the table, maybe they're using colorful language, that's their expression of their frustration and the stress that they might be under. The impact of that, though, might be, especially for less experienced and less confident employees, is to hold back, which means they're not sharing information in a timely manner, which means decisions can't be made with full information, and therefore results.
So you're talking about emotions, but as they manifest in our personality.
Exactly. And it is not that we're trying to get rid of them, because we're hardwired to be emotional creatures.
Right.
It's about how do you demonstrate them in a way that's appropriate at work, that helps people to understand when you're frustrated, but doesn't then hinder the performance of the team and therefore your ability to deliver.
And this is the essence of your book about how to cultivate relationships with different kinds of people that are different from you, that are completely opposite from you, that are so that you can not only get the most from them, but for the relationship, but also benefit from it yourself.
Yes, so my book explores the importance of professional relationships at work. I believe that the world of work is a team sport, that we are dependent on each other for our success, and therefore it's in our best interest to ensure each other's success. And emotions are part of that. You have to have a connection in order to cultivate what I call an ally relationship with your colleagues and co-workers.
Morag, I need your website, please.
My website is SkyTeam, and that's SKYE, SkyTeam.com.
All right. And the book is called Cultivate, The Power of Winning Relationships. When we come back, I'm going to ask Morag to talk to us about technically brilliant people who have difficulty managing people. And also, I'm going to ask her to weave in her relationship ecosystem ideas into that discussion. This is a really important part. That's a really important part of her new book, Cultivate. Morag Barrett and I will be right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.